We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money. The skies are sunny. Old man depression, you are through. You done us wrong.
Stock markets initially plummeted on the notion that the Federal Reserve would print less money, buy less government debt, and stand by as interest rates soared into the stratosphere. Very quickly, however, Fed officials extinguished fears of skyrocketing borrowing costs by simultaneously announcing that its policy of 0% overnight lending would continue well beyond the point at which unemployment reached 6.5%. In other words, the U.S. central bank taketh away a bit of its electronic dollar creation, yet giveth enormous assurances that it remains dedicated to suppressing interest rates by one method or another well out into the future. In Chairman Bernanke's news conference, he once again emphasized that tapering currency creation does not constitute tightening. In the past, I have found this idea comical, if not downright ludicrous. On the other hand, if one sets out on a course of slowly exiting from a controversial easing program that involves generating more of a currency that has not previously existed, but also guarantees that other easy money policies will remain intact, the net result constitutes an equivalent level of accommodation. Indeed, the outgoing chairman stated that the Federal Reserve means to keep the level of stimulus more or less the same. With the S&P 500 and Dow notching high after record high, stocks obviously agree. Now, perhaps ironically, the modest tapering from $85 billion per month of money printing down to $75 billion per month, that might even be deemed looser monetary policy. How? Well, the Fed now promises to give greater weight to a wider variety of data in its assessment of employment well-being. Things like labor force participation and wage growth. Since these indicators are a long way from looking as rosy as the Bureau of Labor Statistics' 7% unemployment number, one should recognize that the Fed is determined to keep the cost of borrowing in check for many years to come. Consider the possibility that the Fed actually tapers another $10 billion at every committee meeting throughout 2014. Well, then QE3 would still occur. The one that would occur would still be as large as the previous round of easing that was known as QE2. In fact, another $600 billion would still be added to the Fed's balance sheet, bringing the amount of new dollars into existence closer to $5 trillion. Where does that $5 trillion go? It goes into the stock market, into riskier assets. Meanwhile, any hiccups in gross domestic product or real estate or joblessness could result in Fed meetings where they skip a $10 billion reduction or even announce more stimulus. So is anyone really shocked that trillions of new dollars, alongside exceptionally low interest rates, have enticed so much borrowing activity and leverage? Are we surprised that consumers, businesses, and investors are clamoring to gain access? Unfortunately, few seem concerned that 2013 debt levels are now greater than they were in 2007. We've actually worked our way back into the same dangerous thought process that leverage can only be positive. In truth, I'm not sure why so many economic experts are forecasting an endless economic expansion, especially when the developed world government debt that's out there is twice as large as it was 5 years ago. Theoretically, the next stage of economic expansion would come when banks begin lending significantly more of the money that they borrowed so cheaply for so long. They've been relatively stingy up until now. I would be more comfortable with regional banks than the big boys. Primarily, regional banks understand that they are not too big to fail, so they tend to be smarter about the quality of their loans that they add to their books. Investors might be wiser to pursue Spider S&P Regional Banking, KRE, over Spider S&P Bank, KBE, or Spider Sector Financials, XLF. With or without a 2014 correction, I would expect KRE to do well. I would expect brokerages to reap the rewards of stock and stock ETF inflows. So also look to iShares U.S. Broker Dealers, IAI, a venerable pickup, especially if you did see a pullback. The Fed's determination to keep rates relatively subdued may even be more beneficial to dollar-hedged foreign equity funds. In particular, funds like WisdomTree Hedged Japan Equity, ticker symbol DXJ, and WisdomTree Hedged Germany Equity, ticker symbol DXGE, are attractive from both a valuation basis and a currency basis. You should expect the yen and the euro to depreciate against the US dollar in the year ahead. So which stock sectors benefit the most from stable or slightly higher interest rates? According to Bernstein Research, energy is the only sector to demonstrate statistically positive results to increases in rates over the previous 40 years. Meanwhile, financial stocks actually fared the weakest. Now, these findings directly contradict the notion that banks benefit the most from rising rates because it should allow them to charge more for their services. But during the last 6 months in which tapering was in play, the technical evidence did seem to confirm a little bit of bleakness for the diversified financial services area. Spider Select Sector Financial XLF, with holdings like JP Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, well, Spider Sector Financial XLF demonstrated relative weakness against the S&P 500. In contrast, XLF might not have been able to thrive, but regional banking demonstrated relative strength in the very same time period. Spider KBW Regional Banking, KRE, showed relative strength where diversified financials were far less convincing. So why do under-the-radar, smaller regional banks seem to be doing so well in an environment of rate uncertainty, whereas the larger banks struggle? Several possibilities may play a role, including the reality that large company financials deal with monstrous legal payments, greater government oversight and regulation, as well as more exposure to government bonds that have been declining in value. Others might argue that loan growth and loan quality at the regional level are more beneficial to shareholders than slower loan growth and questionable loan quality at larger institutions. So with the stock market feeling invincible these days, should you be abandoning any other asset class? Are bond ETFs done? Well, I don't think so. Buying bond ETFs when the 10-year is close to 3% may actually prove to be a savvy contrarian move in 2014. Not only is the Fed likely to work towards keeping bond yields in and around 3%, not only is quantitative easing almost certain to be used by the Fed for a longer period than many anticipated this time, but bond ETFs may be less risky than professionals might have you believe. It's possible that economic data actually weakens rather than accelerates. It's possible that foreign investors may warm up to the safe harbor notion of U.S. Treasuries. And the last time that economic data started to weaken, it was the mid-March to mid-July period when the 10-year yield dropped roughly 75 basis points. When 10-year yields fell approximately 75 basis points, you saw the iShares 20-plus Treasury, TLT, jump 12.6%. iShares 7 to 10-year Treasury, IEF, jumped about 5%. iShares High Yield Corporate, HYG, nearly 4%. Now keep in mind, those were total return results in a four-month period, not a full-year period. So if one assumes a 75 basis point drop over the course of a year, an investor might also get the yield that the respective asset produces over the additional 8 months. In other words, there is reason for a contrarian investor to see modest income production and modest capital appreciation if the Fed is at least successful at keeping 10-year yields at 3% or lower. And a contrarian that sees a 10-year yield ending 2014 between 2.25% and 2.5% might actually secure a decent total return. I intend to keep some bond exposure in client accounts, albeit quite mild. I am unlikely to make a substantial contrarian bet on rates falling substantially. But once investors begin to realize that the Fed accommodation, even QE itself, is never really going to end altogether, bond short sellers could get squeezed and bond ETFs could start seeing some more inflows rather than outflows. One of the best books that you will ever read is The Millionaire Next Door. What made The Millionaire Next Door so terrific was the reality that anyone could achieve financial freedom without taking unnecessary risks.
My name is Gary Gordon, president of Pacific Park Financial. Smart, balanced ETF investing, that's what I do. I manage tens of millions of dollars for hundreds of families with care, consideration, and purpose. If you'd like to learn more about smart, balanced ETF investing, then give me a call. 888-500-GARY, that's 888-500-4279. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at ETFExpert or read my daily commentary at www.etfexpert.com.